Yeah, sorry about that. I'm on mute. So again, technical difficulties with my microphone. Well, welcome to the situation report. I was having a lovely conversation with myself on mute. And that was Jefferson Starship, Find Your Way Back. Yeah, not sure why I was muted, but you know, it's technical difficulties. I'm glad I had a conversation with myself. It was awesome. So anyway, you know, it's not a good sit rep or a roundtable unless we have, you know, 30 minutes of cursory IT and your shit doesn't work. I'm telling you that the red team at NSA is fucking with me because I had no indication that anything was muted. I literally had to turn on and off my mic in order for this to start working. No indications on my screen. So hi, NSA. Hi. My God. So where was I? Oh, okay. So let me start over. Okay, the world's going to end, and it's going to end between tomorrow and Wednesday from solar storms. So good seeing you. Have a good night. Love you. So anyway, and then they're going to storm Congress tomorrow. Supposedly 20,000 angry Kamala Harris supporters are going to storm Congress. They're going to demand. Oh, yeah, I'm total dumbass today. They're going to storm Congress. They are going to demand the arrest of Netanyahu. They're going to demand the arrest of GOP members, which, by the way, they could do that. I don't care. Most of them are cucks anyway, especially Mike Johnson. Gay! God. Could you just come out of the closet, Mike? Just do us all a favor. Come out of the closet and just admit that you're Netanyahu's ball washer. You're a total goo gobbler. Come on. Just spit it out, man. Literally. My God. Anyway. The thing that's really signal, though, this week is the fact that Google is censoring the Trump assassination attempt. That tells me that this was an inside job. The FBI was involved and probably the CIA. And if you haven't watched Coffee and Mike did an interview with Mike. Who was it? The guy that was talking about the fourth shooter. I can't think of his name. Anyway, Mike will tell you, but you should watch it. I watched the first half of it on Saturday. Really, really good interview. And I can tell you that there's a number of John Cullen. Thank you. God, it was not coming to me. Mike's killing me, man. Killing me. But you listen to John's interview, and he's very methodical about the way he goes through the evidence that he's collected. And he's very methodical about the different interactions he's had with other people. And one thing that I caught that I'd never heard before was the fact that he was saying that the Vegas shooting, there was a helicopter that had snipers that was shooting down at the crowd by the angle of the bullets. I was shocked by that. I had never heard that. So yeah, worth your time. If you have time to listen to it, it's worth your time to listen to. The thing about Trump, though, is that there's a lot of red flags around all of this. But the fact that Google is censoring it means that it was an inside job and that the FBI was definitively involved. And I think as the weeks go by, more and more information is going to come out about who was behind it. And I would assume the Clintons and probably the Bidens were behind it, if not Obama. And I don't prescribe to the thought process that there's panic inside of DC. I don't see that. I think camel toe is short-lived. She's going to have a gaffe that's not going to, it's going to outlive her. She's not going to recover from it. They're not going to be able to do damage control. And that you have to think around the psychology of this, right? Everybody in her inner circle pretty much hates her because she's such a toxic person to be around and such a toxic person to work for. She's gone through more staff than I've gone through bottles of water. So it's going to be just a matter of time before all of that hype goes to her head. She starts to believe her own press. And then guess what? Then she's going to say something incredibly stupid. I'll give her a month. And I say that because the... Okay, now my screen is flickering. Can you see my camera still? I can't see my camera. I'm telling you, the NSA Red Team is fucking with me right now. I'm telling you. This is shit they would do. This is absolutely shit they would do. Okay, now my camera's back. So I'll give her a month before she starts to believe her own press. I'll give her a month before she starts to say stupid things. And then you will not be able, she will not be able to recover from it. And, you know, the hard part about looking at influencing operations like this. So the whole mainstream legacy media just pivoted towards she's the front runner of the race, which all of us know is bullshit. But you got to remember how the influencing operations work. They say it and say it and say it until you believe it. And throughout history, there's been numerous times where the CIA and other organizations have put, you know, masses of people into one area and watch the influencing and the groupthink occur. And they've done several experiments over the years, and MK Ultra and the rest of the programs that you've heard about, they leverage the fact that people don't want to go against the grain. They want to conform. So they're going to use all of the messaging platforms they possibly can to convince you that she's the front runner. And it's statistically impossible for her at a weekend. What Joe dropped out of the race supposedly a week ago Sunday, and now she's the front runner, and all the polls are showing that she's ahead of Trump. It's all horseshit. Here's how that goes. The never Trumpers and all the boomers, they can't handle the fact that Orange Man's still in the race, are going to gravitate to whoever is better than Trump. That's about 25% of the liberal side. Then you have the reigning 75% that some are going to gravitate towards whoever the candidate is on the left, and the rest are going to sit in the middle and see how things start to shape up in the race. But they're not going to commit to anything until almost election day. And I don't care how much influencing operations that they do. When you put somebody that incredibly stupid in front of a camera, it's only a matter of time before the world figures out just how dumb they really are. I mean, look at Ted Lieu or Eric Swallowswell, AKA Farticus. That guy is so dumb, he literally has instructions on how to get dressed in the morning. But they can't hide it anymore. They can't hide him anymore. So they've just pushed him off to the side, and they keep him in the shadows so you can't see any of the stupidity coming out of his mouth. They're going to do the same thing with Camilla as much as they possibly can, because they don't want that gaffe to happen before October. And I still am a firm believer that the convention is going to change everything. I don't know why I think this, but I think Clinton's going to come out of the shadows and she's going to be the nominee, because that woman is, when you look at evil and the definition of Webster's dictionary, there's a picture of her. That woman is so evil. She has probably planned this for the better part of 8 years. And I would not put a pastor to carry a grudge for that long. Again, these people are petty. They're narcissistic. They are maniacal. They will wait and wait and wait for the perfect opportunity to seek revenge. And she would absolutely try to seek revenge against Trump. It is in her wheelhouse. So I like I said, I give Harris a month, and then she'll be out, and it'll be somebody else. No, they're drunk with power, puke. They're not just delusional with it. They're drunk with power. And again, these people are all psychopaths, every single one of them. So the other thing that I wanted to talk through today is I had several conversations this morning. One of them, one of them I'm still trying to get my head around. And the short answer is that, how do I say this? You know how you have those conversations with people and you think you heard a UFO, but you're not quite sure what you heard? So over the last probably year, 2 years, I've gotten phone calls from people that I haven't talked to in years, guys I worked with years ago. And these are, they worked on some really high speed things. And I didn't work on some of the programs they were on, but I worked with them in a number of different parallel programs, really, really sharp guys. So I got a couple of phone calls and messages this morning that something big is inbound. And okay, I've heard that before. I've said that before, that something big is coming. All of you can sense something big is coming. All of you know that they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they stay in power. So them doing something, let's just say, incredibly irresponsible or incredibly stupid is right in their wheelhouse. So let's just start from that premise. And I heard everything from major cyber attack to major cyber attack with man-made, which I'm still not sure I buy into, man-made natural disasters. So if I look at that from just a messaging perspective, then I would say, okay, bring the rain. Because we all know that when they kick this off, it's going to go sideways. If any of you, and I'm just going to touch on the Olympics because I don't pay attention to the Olympics or pro sports at all. The Olympics was a mock. They literally mocked God. And you do not mock God. Because spirit will show up and make you look stupid when you least expect it. And I thought the telltale sign that spirit was paying attention is when Paris went dark and the only thing lit was a Christian church. You cannot get more of a sign than that spirit is paying attention. So I am fully expecting that the law of unintended consequences are going to slap these people right across the face when they least expect it. And I expect that at some point they will completely lose control. And if you think I'm kidding, you watch what's going on in Venezuela. Because Maduro has had the tightest grip on power for the better part of 10, 20 years now. And he has stripped that country clean. And people are, again, we've talked about this. Troop and I have both talked about this. When people get to the point where they realize that breaking the law is way, way better than abiding by a system that is completely corrupt, we will get what Venezuela is going through right now. The only difference is we're armed. And a lot of people are going to line up next to each other from all walks of life to take back their country. That will happen probably this year. And when it does, you will see something new from the American people. Because you can see the animus and the vitriol in everyone's faces when you drive around. You can see it. You can feel it when you're at a bar or you're at a restaurant. You can feel it. It's visceral. People are angry. And that's going to boil over, but it's not going to boil over in the way that the elite think it's going to boil over. Spirit will step in at the right time and provide the nudge that society needs to move in the direction for unity. And I say that because during this conversation today, I asked a couple of questions about some of the programs that I used to work on, and that is, is any of this stuff that we worked on operational? Yeah. Is any of the stuff we worked on going to see the light of day? Absolutely. Okay. That tells me that the stuff that I saw you know, years ago is probably going to be in the public eye in a very short period of time. You know, the thing that the elite don't want, and that they're desperately, this I know they're afraid of, is disclosure. Because disclosure means that they're outed. All of their crimes, all of their malfeasance, all of their shenanigans, all outed, then the world sees what they've really been doing. And I don't think that they're, again, this goes back to conversation about AI deepfakes. They may be able to fake some of it and reprogram some of it. But I believe that there's a volume of information that's going to be released right around October that is going to solidify the swing in the cultural pendulum the other way. Because let's face it, everybody's tired of the whole trans gay agenda being shoved down your throat. I don't think anybody has a problem with gays. I don't think anybody has a problem with trans. I think people have a problem with the fact that they shove it in your face and they expect you to show them respect and revere and admire their lifestyle choices. Sorry, I don't have to do that. And you can't legislate me to pay attention to your agenda or to your belief system. And that's where people are at. You want to go be gay? Go be gay. You want to go be trans? Go be trans. But keep it to yourself because I don't care. That's where the population's at. And this agenda of pushing it down your throat is the same agenda that they're using with camel toe. They want to push her to the front. They want to keep her. They want to keep her in the limelight. They want to keep messaging that she's out front until you believe it. Well, guess what? People aren't going to believe it because her words and actions don't match what they're saying on TV. And the conversation started over the whole borders are thing. They're trying to gaslight people there. Like they're talking to the portion of the population that hasn't decided which way they're going to go in the election. And they've stacked the deck with the election. They've tainted the voter rolls. They've tainted the mail-in ballot pool. They've tainted the machines. I mean, there's just a list of things that they have done to solidify cheating election. But I think there's going to be a point where the disclosure part of this happens in mass and they can't cover it up. And then they punch the ticket on the big event. And I honestly think that that's, we're on the event horizon right now. I think that there is something on the horizon that they haven't quite made the decision or at least chosen the course of action that they're going to take. But when they do, I guarantee you that it will be something completely unexpected for all of us. And it will be something that shows up at a time when all of us will be probably shocked. And I would say, in lieu of that, live your life, but be prepared, have your gear, use your gear. And in case of point today, I've been literally all day, I've been trying to program radios and I've been having issues all day. And you can tell from my mic that why I've been having issues, but I've been trying to finish up some of the prep that I've been trying to do for my family and literally all day long. So my advice to everybody is live your life, ignore what's going on in the mainstream. Ignore what's going on in alternative media and make those human connections now and continue to live your life. Just be prepared. And then once things happen, accept the situation, move on. That's all you can do. There's no sense in being stressed out about it. There's no sense in trying to war game what the event's going to be. Nobody's got a clue what they're going to do. They have a couple of lines of operation that they can use, and they'll choose one of them. The interesting news article today was that the Israelis were saying something about Hezbollah having an EMP device. Sure, I'd like to see that. Because the only way I know of generating an EMP pulse big enough to destroy, electronics in a wide area is a high altitude nuclear burst. And I don't see Hezbollah having nuclear weapons. They might, but I don't see that happening. And why would you fry yourself? You're not going to burn the bridge you're standing on. So, and to answer your question, Deegan, no, I won't be shocked. I'm prepared for whatever's coming because I know something is coming. And I know that no matter how much I prepare for whatever scenario I think is going to come up, they're going to throw a curveball at us. You just have to be prepared for the fact that you can't war game what's coming. It's going to be a shock. And I'll use the CrowdStrike issue as a perfect example. Guys in the security operations center were literally watching machines drop offline, and they didn't make the correlation that CrowdStrike was doing an update because you don't get any indications of that. There's no messages on your console that says, "Hey, we're doing an upgrade right now." You don't get any. It all happens seamlessly in the background. All you see is stuff not working. So you think it's a denial of service attack, or you think it's ransomware. And ransomware, when that is used, it is literally things start to work weird, and then stuff just goes down. Or it just goes down. There's a myriad of indications that you get, and you have to make sense of it and figure it out. I mean, that's the art of security operations, is figuring out what the hell you're seeing. And most people have never seen buffer overloads. They've never seen, you know, memory leaks. They've never seen Windows systems blue screen, and then you can take over the box. They've never seen it. In fact, most security professionals have never seen a brush fire in the wild. A brush fire is when you have thousands of laptops and endpoints that are affected by malware. Most people have never seen that. So those indications are going to be ambiguous for a lot of people. And I assume that the same thing's going to happen with if they conduct a massive cyber attack. Communications will go down, people will be confused, then basic services will go down, and then the lights will go off and people will be confused. So if you don't have an emergency radio, you should probably get one. And you don't need something high speed. You just need something that you can turn on and, you know, tune for emergency broadcast or whatever, because it's not going to come across your phone. If they take comms down, they're going to take down all the cell towers first. Again, you have to think about this from the enemy's perspective. If you're going to conduct operations, you got to take away the enemy's ability to shoot, move, and communicate. So you're going to take down all those pillars all at the same time so that you maximize the chaos and maximize the confusion. Because then what do people do when they get flooded? They stop, full stop, and they become ideal targets for whatever you're using. So that's the mode that they're going to use. And they're going to use whatever mechanism is going to give them the biggest effect. And it could be multiple, probably will be multiple. So I'm trying to tell you that you're not going to know what it is probably in the moment. You probably won't know. Things are just going to stop working. And you're going to have to figure out when you start to move, when you start to displace, when you start to move other people. And this is the rule of thumb that I'm going to use. So if comms go down and phones are down and radios are not working, you move. You move almost immediately. Or you have people move to you and you hunker down. But you move to where there's other people. If power goes down and comms are still up, can wait 24 to 48 hours. If the water system stops and water's not flowing, you got to hunker down. And if you use the experience that happened in Houston, when people were running their generators, there was people running around stealing generators. So you have to, if you're going to use a generator, then you're going to have to switch to or build a box around it so you can muffle the sound so people can't hear from a great distance. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but generators are really freaking loud. So my point of saying all this is start thinking about those things now. Start thinking about what your go, no-go decisions are. Start thinking about what is your trigger points for specific actions that you and your family are going to take. Because when it happens, you want it to be autonomic. So you want to practice it. And now is the time to practice it. Because when we get into the heat of August, the enemy is going to have tons of opportunity to conduct operations that will not only catch you off guard, but it will stun you. So be prepared for that and start thinking through that now. Most people don't think about it till they're in the moment, which is part of the reason why we've been harping on it over the last couple of months, for the simple reason that you never know how things will develop and you don't want to sit there and war game in anyway. What you want to war game is what your reaction is going to be and how you exercise everybody in your sphere of influence to be on the same page so that it's muscle memory. Those are the critical points right now. The rest of it, noise. I don't care about the renter in the White House. I don't give two shits about who's there, who's not there, who's going to be. I don't care. Bracken's right. That's the bridge of the Titanic. I don't give a fuck who's on the bridge of the Titanic because it's going to be 1,000 feet down when it's all said and done. So I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what's around me. How do I get to my family? How does my family get to me? How do I get to the people I care about? How do they get to me? So all of those things are the things you should be considering right now, and how you consider them is part of the planning process. It's like strip maps, communications plans, alternative communications plans. And, you know, you have to think through all of that now. Yeah, Bracken. Yeah. Yeah. Salt, that's a good point. Bracken's usually right. That guy is called more. He's 5 for 5. The guy's called more shit than I can think of. So I tend to pay attention to him a hell of a lot more than I did, that's for sure. But the big picture here is, don't get wrapped up in the day-to-day stuff. Like, I don't care about the Olympics. I could give two shits about it. Now it's a bunch of pro athletes that go and make themselves feel better and high-five each other, or they do what our athletes did, where they're screaming during the national anthem. You know, that's all of that. The pendulum's swinging the other way. People are sick of that shit. So don't get wrapped up in it. It's just noise. And it's noise designed to keep you agitated. They want to keep you emotionally charged so that you do irrational things. So stop, get out of the emotional space, stay in the rational space and focus on things that matter. Because when you do that, you stop worrying about the noise on the peripherals, because that's all it is noise. Like this conversation about, well, who's going to roll up the FBI? Nobody's going to roll up the FBI. You and I are going to do that at gunpoint at some point in the future. We're going to have to go find all these people and dig them out of holes and hold them to account. That's going to happen down the road. It's not going to happen right now. So why worry about it? The thing to worry about is, do you have a source of food and a source of water when all of this is turned off? Because there's a vast swath of the population that has no idea that there's anything wrong, blissfully unaware of their surroundings. And you should be very dialed into your surroundings, especially when you're in a public space, because the mob mentality, when that takes over and people get scared and it's a mass of people scared, guess what? All rationality goes out the door. You don't want to be in that space. That's why Troop and I both say stay out of the conflict space, because that initial conflict space is going to be very violent and very, very bloody, very quickly. And it's going to be people that are scared. You're already starting to see that happen right now. Starting to see road rage events blow up into gunfire. You're starting to see, you know, picnics blowing up into gunfire. You're starting to see family events blowing up into gunfire. You know why that is? It's because people are in the emotional space and they're wrapped up in the narrative. And they're always in a heightened emotional state. You can't live there. It's all adrenaline. You have to look at this as a marathon. You're running a marathon right now against a machine that eventually is going to break down and fail. But you have to be able to pace yourself long enough to get to the other side of it. You can't sprint through this. It's going to be a slog through this. It's going to be ambiguous. It's going to be confusing. It's going to be chaotic. You can't look at this as there's order in this, because there's not. There's no order in combat. None. A bunch of shit happens and you just hope to survive through it and use your muscle memory to get through it. That's how it goes. And this illusion that people think that I'm going to be able to do this or that, it's not going to happen. In fact, just to give you some idea of how checked out people are, I took my battle rattle over to somebody's house yesterday and made them put it all on. Magazines that were loaded, the sappy plates, the vest, the belt, the backpack, the whole nine yards, the ammo. And you know what they figured out? This shit's really heavy. And this shit is going to slow me down. And I'm not sure I want to carry all this shit. And once you figure that out and you figure out that you may not have the capability to do all the things that you think you are, then you're going to start thinking the right way. Like I used to take my soldiers out to the range and I would make them jump up and down before they would shoot. So there'd be adrenaline in their system. So they would see how hard it is to shoot when your adrenaline's moving. And most people don't do that. They don't shoot right, left-handed. Like how many of you out there have shot with your opposite hand and have a sight picture with your opposite eye? I can tell you that probably 5% of you have done that. Most people don't think to train like that. Most people don't think to train for an injury or train for the kind of scenario you might be in. And I guarantee you, if you got a bunch of stuff in the back of your truck like I do, you're going to go and you're going to look at all that and you go, I can't carry all this shit. And then you're going to start to lighten the load and figure out what you can carry. The one thing the two things you know you need for sure is water and food. And that isn't light. And there's only so much you can carry. So my point of this is start thinking about that right now. Because if you haven't gone through your gear to figure out what you'll use for your environment and what you need in your environment, I guarantee you, you're not going to figure it out in the moment. And don't make any assumptions that you're going to find the things that you need on the fly. That's a pipe dream. In fact, Murphy's Law of Combat, a falling object will only fall where it can do the most damage. Start with that premise that you're not going to be able to find shit. You're not going to be able to find any friendly people, and you're going to be short of something. Start there and then work your way backwards. Don't start from the premise that I'm going to go find water and I'm going to drink from a mud puddle. What if there's no rain and they hit you in the middle of August when there's no rain and you don't have any water? Then you're fucked. So think through this from the perspective of lack of abundance, and you will start to backward plan the right way. And also, don't get wrapped up and attached to stuff, because stuff is what gets you killed, especially stuff in your house. Anybody that says they're going to defend them, I'm going to stay and defend my house. Okay, there's one of you. And if there's 20 guys rushing your house, that's a die in place mission. They're either going to smoke you or they're going to burn you out. They are not going to give two shits about the stuff in your house. They want the ammo, the food, and the things they can carry. And they're going to leave your dead body behind them. And all your shit's going to be gone. So when you start thinking through this, look at this from a logical perspective. How many people do you think you can defend your house against? One or two guys? Potentially. 10 guys? No. 20 guys? No. 50? Absolutely not. They'll come through every window at once. And you only have so many bullets, and nobody's that good of a shot. And nobody's that lucky. The point is, think through this realistically. And don't look at this as, I'm going to have all this shit on hand, and all this shit's going to work out. And I'll give you a for instance. I was sitting outside of our headquarters in Mosul. I'd been there maybe 4 days, and I'm standing there with the comm officer, and we had just put together the last fiber cable for the satellite van. And General Hamm walked out and he said, "Hey Brad, what do you think the chances are this is going to get hit? 100% sure. It's secure. No problem. We got sandbags on it. No problem." Fucking walked inside. Four mortar rounds hit. One of them landed right on top of that cable and blew that cable up. I can guarantee you, guarantee you that no matter how much you do planning, how much you think your shit's secure, how much you think you're going to go find the things you need to plan for, I can't find this stuff. And I'm going to have backups on hand. That's why we started talking about having caches around. You have a cache somewhere, you will be able to fall in on it. And it doesn't have to be an extra rifle, or it could be a bottle of water. It could be first aid kit, and it can be, you know, maybe some gold and silver and some ammo. That's a cache, right? You don't need to go bury a fucking Pelican case, you know, seal it up with all your shit in it. That's not real. You need to have things where you can fall in on it and get a few things you need and continue to move. That mindset that I'm going to just go, you know, throw stuff out and I'm going to have, you know, I'll have guns everywhere. Not real. You can only carry one or two firearms, but you can only shoot one at a time. There's only so much ammo you can carry. There's only so much water you can carry. There's only so much food you can carry. And you still got to have hygiene, a source of heat. You got to have some kind of a coat. You got to have some kind of a moisture, or at least, you know, a barrier from the sun or moisture. When you start adding all that up, that shit gets really fucking heavy. And I'm saying this because I had a lot of conversations over the last week with people that were telling me all the cool shit that they were going to do. And if you have shit that's still in wrapping, take it out. Make sure it fits. Use it. If you don't know if it works or not, take it out and make sure it works. Now's the time. You're not going to get a second chance. And trust me, in the heat of the moment, you're not going to have any muscle memory. The key to this exercise, and I think I saw Chris from CSG. I did see it. Hey, Chris. He does this for a living. You should go out to Combat Studies Group and look at his training courses. He does this for a living. He's an operator. He knows exactly what you can and can't carry for long distances, and he will fucking tell you. And he won't mix words about it. Some of you need to hear that, because I've literally had 5 conversations in the last week of people telling me, yeah, I'm going to go door to door, man. I'm going to kick doors in. I'm going to get what I want. No, you're not. Some kid with a 22 is going to smoke your ass in your driveway and steal $22,000 worth of shit off your dead body. That's how that game's played. Or you're going to kick a door in and somebody's going to pop you a new asshole in the forehead with a 45 and you're never going to see it coming. That is a pipe dream. That is not something you want to spend your time training for. Because if you're kicking doors, it means that everything around you is in worse shape. None of that is what you want to do. And Chris can tell you, just like Matt and all these other guys can tell you the same thing. When you clear a building, you don't do it with 2 or 3 guys. It takes 12, 15 guys to clear a building. And when you're going room to room, it's just as dangerous being shot by a guy behind you than it is from somebody behind the door. So get that shit out of your head. That's not real. I don't plan on kicking fucking doors in. First of all, I'm old and broke. And second of all, what is the gain? What are you gaining from that? Unless you're storming a fortified position with a bunch of other assholes, you're not going to survive that encounter. And the whole point of the exercise is to go through this and make it through. That's the whole point of the exercise. It's not to go and steal shit from other people. If you have to do that, it means things are really bad and probably just as bad for them. So the point I'm trying to make with all of this is start thinking about all of this right now. Don't wait. Don't assume in the moment you're going to have the wherewithal to use all the stuff you have. And I can tell you that using those little camp stoves that Troop uses all the time, he makes it look easy because he does it all the time. If you've never hooked one of those up and used one of those, trust me, it's going to be a 35, 40 minute ordeal to get it set up, stabilized, etc. That's why we keep harping on this stuff. And I'm harping on it today because what I've heard in the last 4 days has given me a lot of pause that we're on the event horizon for something really, really big. And I don't want anybody in this audience to be caught off guard that they didn't expect something to happen. We don't know what it is, but you should be ready for something. And right now is the time to go through all your stuff, figure out how all this stuff weighs. Now, I guarantee you, that there is probably 30, 40 people in this audience that have all their kits set up and they've never worn it. They've never had it all on at the same time. And if you've never worn Sappy plates or a vest with ammo and a first aid kit and extra ammo for your pistol and your pistol, trust me, that shit's very, very heavy. And if you have not walked in that stuff and you haven't moved around doing it, I guarantee you, your shoulder's going to be killing you in probably half a mile. You want my advice? Do what I did last summer. Put on your shit, go walk 4 or 5 miles, and see how you feel after 4 or 5 miles. I guarantee you, your dogs are going to be sore. Mine were killing me. Because the other thing I know most of you haven't done is wear your fucking boots. When's the last time you had your boots on? You actually went out and did something. You don't count, Chris. You don't fucking count. Because I know you do your shit all the time. But for the rest of us, now's the time to start breaking that stuff in. Because you don't want to be doing that when you're humping back to your house 5, 6, 7 miles away. Trust me, your dogs are going to be sore. And it's going to suck. And that's one of those times where I'm not going to say embrace the suck. Because it's going to suck no matter whether you embrace it or not. There are three things that, as a soldier, I could not stand. Sore feet, sore balls, and sore shoulders. And when you're rubbing, when you're sweating your ass off, sweating bullets, and you know there's not enough baby powder, it's going to keep you dry. And after 4 or 5 days in the field, you get funky, everything gets raw. It's not a comfortable experience, not all that. And that the term be all you can be means something a hell of a lot different when you're in that situation. So break in your gear now, use your gear now while you still can. Because I have a feeling that when things break, it's all going to break at once. And you're going to be scrambling to figure out what's going on. The ambiguity is the hardest thing for most people to deal with. Because there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of miscommunication, there's a lot of hyperbole, people pull things out of their ass. You can't get wrapped up in that. What you can see, what you actually can verify, and with people that will verify it, that is exactly what you go off of. You don't go off somebody going, I know a dude who knows this other dude who heard from a dude who talked to this other dude that this shit's going on. Now that's all garbage. Somebody that witnesses things and sees it as an eyewitness, that's going to be your best source of information when all comms are down. And trust me, none of us have prepared for that scenario. None of us. And you can talk a really good game. And let me just put this out there, because I got to get this out of the way. If you're a fucking radio guy and everything turns off, and you're on the other end of a radio, and I don't have a call sign for you that's in your system, and you lock me out, I will find you, and I will fucking waterboard the shit out of you until you realize all of the errors and sins in your life all in one moment. It will not be a pleasant experience for you, because that bullshit needs to wash off when everything goes down. And I made the mistake of going to a radio store. It's my own fault. Went to get an antenna. It's about talking to three radio guys. And the conversation I walked in on was, what are you going to do during the zombie apocalypse or if the system goes down? And literally without missing a beat, all three of them said the same thing. I'm going to lock out everybody that doesn't have a call sign. And I looked at him and said, you're going to get beat to death. That's what's going to happen to you. Because people are going to find out who you are, and they're going to make sure they can talk on the radio, dipshit. God, radio guys. Anyway. The point I'm trying to make is, most of us have not exercised anything in a tactical environment. We haven't dealt with ambiguity. We haven't dealt with the situations of being without. we have spent our entire lives in abundance in one way, shape, or form. Very, very few of us have dealt with anything or any ambiguity outside of the system that we live in. So you have to prepare for that. And if you don't prepare for that, and there's only so much you can do to prepare for that. And it's very, this part, and this is why I say security teams all the time. The ambiguity is the part that gets under most people's skin with security, because you get all these weird indications. They show up all at once. There's no linear aspects to it. So you can't follow a path. There's no thought or reason why things occur a certain way, especially on a fucking Windows box. Friends don't let friends use Windows, by the way. God, fucking hate Microsoft. The point of this though is that you get all these conflicting indications and you have to make sense of it and then go trace it to source and figure out how to fix it. This is going to be the same kind of a thing, only you're not going to have access to all the things that you've taken for granted. You're not going to have access to fuel. You're not going to have access to comms. You're not going to have access to water, and you probably won't have access to medical supplies. Most people will not be able to deal with that kind of ambiguity and that kind of adversity. They will not be able to solve problems and move out. And it is very, very important that you start to think through that now, because the elite want us to be disoriented and feel isolated. That's what they want. Their whole plan hinges on the fact that we are turning against each other, that we are in our little silos, that we feel isolated, we feel alone, and we don't feel like there's anybody else around us. That's why making the human connections right now are so important. That's why making sure all your gear works and exercising your equipment and actually exercising your body and your mind are so important. Because when all of these things kick off, the confusion and disorientation will drive people crazy. You will see people lose their minds, because there's an entire swath of the population that cannot handle any adversity whatsoever. They are going to be lost and disoriented, and they are going to be dangerous for you. They're going to be dangerous for everyone, even to themselves, because they cannot process what's in front of them real time. I can't stress enough. Thanks, Puke Bucket. Wow, $50. Wow, thanks, man. I will make sure that gets to Trooper Care Network. I appreciate that, brother. That's very nice of you. You have to start thinking through what other people are going to present during this situation. You can't go through the situation and assume that everybody's going to be rational and in a clear state of mind. They will not be. And you're going to have to wade through and make decisions about who is sane enough to stay and who isn't. And that'll be a hard decision for some of you. But I guarantee you, if things get as bad as I think they are, it will save your life if you can make that decision. So you have a lot of choices in front of you that are going to be very, very difficult to make. If we can take, you know, if the roundtable crew and, you know, the rest of the guys that are on the that come on and off the show, if we can do anything for you and cut out some of the ambiguity, then that's a success in my mind. If it's just one thing, then it's a success. And you can't look at it, you can't look at this big punch list and say, I'll never do all this. You just do one thing at a time. You keep nugging through one thing at a time. Like for me today, it's radios. Gotta get these set up for my family, and then, you know, get them shipped out and away we go. And then I'll move on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. You can't look at this, I'm going to get all this done in one day. Sometimes it takes more than a day. And sometimes it takes 2 days. So think through this from the aspect of, I can do this in small bits. It's incremental, not exponential. And think that incremental wins are just as important as the exponential wins. And you don't get exponential very often. It's incremental. And sometimes it's a fucking inch by inch, hour by hour, to get things done. but make a punch list. Go through that punch list as, you know, as much as you possibly can and be as prepared as you possibly can. Because I guarantee you, you are not going to get a second chance. And we are at the doorstep of whatever event is coming. To take in all the messages I've taken in just in the last 5 days and all the different things I've heard, it means something's on the horizon. I don't look at this stuff and not take it seriously. I take it all very seriously. And you have to weed through some of it, right? Because some of it is just nonsense. Ugh. Start now. And you got there's five authors on the show. You got Clay Martin, you got Matt Everett, you got Joe Dolio, you got Matt Bracken, and going to soon to be Jerome Corsi, all authors. Joe Dolio's written the Tactical Wisdom series. You got the Biofang, Guerrilla's Guide for Biofang. You got the Guerrilla's Guide for Communication Security. I can't think of what it is. Anyway, it's escaped. Matt's other book escapes me off the top of my head. Sorry, Matt. And then you got Bracken's books. There's lots of sources of information that will help you go through this and guide you through this and give you some measure of information that's useful. In fact, I'm in book one of Joe's series right now, reading through just basic ops. So keep that in mind, because basic ops is going to be your lifeblood for probably the first 6 months of whatever's happening. And it's going to be interesting the first couple of weeks of whatever kicks off. One of the things that I learned when I got on the ground in Baghdad is, well, first of all, I got off the plane and puked because it was 120 degrees and I had 200 pounds worth of shit on me. Most of it was duplicate gear that was issued to me in Texas. And then I got more shit when I got off the plane in Kuwait. And then I had to carry all that shit in, and I had four duffel bags worth of shit, half that I didn't use. So anyway, my point is when I got off the plane, I realized that all of the things that they had told us stepping into combat wasn't true. All the things that we had made up in our head about the environment we're walking into wasn't true. And I had to accept very quickly that I was walking into a foreign situation, even though there was troops around me that were in the similar situation. Everybody was still trying to orient themselves. Even the guys on the plane, they were operations moving in and out of Iraq were so new when I went in 2004. They had literally just done the invasion and just transferred authority. They were still setting up FOBs when I walked in the door. So I was literally walking into areas that they were setting up bases at as it was happening, trying to get a situation on the ground, understand who was in charge, understand who the enemy was, figure out what intelligence we could gather. This is going to be the same kind of a deal when this kicks off. And it's going to be very disorienting because you're going to see a lot of different indications come in front of you, and you're going to be like, which one of these is important? So start now getting yourself ready for this ambiguity. Start now training yourself to get used to carrying stuff long distances. Not saying it's going to happen to you, but you should be prepared for it just in case. And all the guys on the roundtable last week, the week before, they all said the same thing. They said, get used to, get your body in order, get your mind in order, and get your spirit in order. Because when all this kicks off, you're not going to have a chance to do it. And it's sage advice. And things are going to start happening faster now. Get out of the fucking news cycle. Leave the mainstream, leave Facebook and Instagram, leave all that shit where it's at. Assume they're going to take a platform down. Assume they're going to take down influencers. Assume they're going to censor the shit out of everybody. There's a machine that's set up to do that. So just accept it and move on. Don't spend any cycles trying to analyze the why. You don't care about the why. What you care about is the what. The what is important right now, not the why. And I don't know when this is going to happen, And it may be a month, maybe 2 months, may not happen. But you should be prepared regardless. Okay, so some admin notes. So the site to buy t-shirts is finally up. Let me post the link. Yep, there it is. I'll post it in the comments section so you can get to it. If you have any problems ordering, let me know. It'll be hooked to my website tomorrow. Website will be up tomorrow. We did the final edits today. Got the payment processor set up. Have the payment processor set up on the other side. So we should be good to go. Let me make sure I didn't miss anybody else. Puke, man, that's really nice. Telling you, buddy, thank you. That's very, very nice. Very unexpected, but thank you. And I'll make sure Troop gets that. And by the way, if you need something, if you want to donate and help out, Trooper Care Network is where you want to go. Troop, if you can post that in the comments, in the chat, in the comments, so people can find you, that would be good. Go out to Combat Studies Group, look at Chris's training, go take some training from Chris or Matt. Matt and Chris both do training sometimes. I think they piggyback off each other at times. It's worth your time. These guys have done this for real, and they know their art. And I was joking with Chris last week that I want to try to get to one of his courses if the world doesn't blow up. And it's not going to be a, you know, tactical studies group. It's going to be unfuck the old man's bad habits and teach him how to shoot right again. So they've already got the memo on what it is that I'm going to need. So, and Troop's already corrected some of my bad habits. That's why I'm harping on this, because it's easy to develop bad habits and get your skills atrophied when you're not exercising your skills. And we're not going to have the luxury once this kicks off to be able to go through and do training. Ammo is going to be a premium. Food and medicine is going to be a premium. Water is going to be a premium. Got to plan for that now, folks, because you're not going to get a second chance. If things happen the way I think they're going to happen, you're not going to get a second chance. So keep that in mind. Shirt site's up. Did I post in the comments? I did post in the comments. Yep, Spreadshop. If you have any issues, let me know with the order. We are not going to do Podbean this week. That was an exercise in futility. And I'll put it on Substack too. Thanks, Trey. Podbean was the only thing I can say about Podbean. It was a nut roll. I don't plan on doing that again. And we're going to be, so Wednesday nights will be the guys on camera will be on Wednesday night. Thursday night will be the guys that aren't on camera, that it's just a voice only. They will both be on Rumble. They will both be streamed to RSS. You'll still be able to hear me on Spotify. You'll still be able to hear us on Apple. You'll still be able to hear us on all of the different feeds, even iHeartRadio. If I do another show on Podbean, it'll probably just be a sit rep, an audio only sit rep. So it was, yeah, that was a mess. The links were bad. The whole guest thing was a nut roll. I'm not doing that again. Everybody will be on StreamYard, and we'll be streaming it to Rumble and to Twitter. So be looking for us on Twitter Spaces, as well as on Rumble on Thursday night. It'll be Thursday night at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. So I'll be around both days. We're going to keep doing two sit reps or two roundtables a week as things start to progress. We'll do emergency roundtables if there's major events and comms are still up. And be looking for us in both venues on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Let me know if you have any problems with the shirt site. When I get the website up, I'll post it on Substack, I'll post it on Telegram, and I'll post it on Twitter and on True Social. I think that's the big stuff. But be back Wednesday. Use your gear. Don't fuck around. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.